Now, I'm not too sure how many of you have actually seen this children's movie, Finding Nemo. I had the joy of watching it a number of times because my children love it. And it's a good, pretty good movie. It's a good movie about a father's love for his son. Now, there's a scene in this movie where Nemo's dad, that's Marlin, and his friend Dory are traveling towards Sydney. And they know they need to get to Sydney, but they just don't know how to get there. So who do they meet? A school of fish that can actually show them the direction towards Sydney. And the school of fish tell Marlin and Dory to go in that direction and follow the East Australian Current. But when they reach the East Australian Current, they need to go through the trench rather than over the trench. But Marlin does not stick around to hear the most important part of the instruction, does he? He just goes ahead without hearing the last bit, that he needs to go through the trench, not travel over it. And the consequence of ignoring the final instruction is, as you can see in the picture, they are met with a sea of jellyfish, and their sting can really kill you. Their lives were put in danger. You know, in a similar way, we too were lost in this world, aren't we? We were lost in sin. And in fact, we didn't even know that we needed to get back to God, nor did we have the desire to get back to God. That is why Jesus came into this world, not just to die for us, but to bring us back to God, to take us back with Him to God. Jesus is the one who can direct us to God because He came from God. And in today's passage, we see Jesus giving His disciples, and through them to us, His final instructions, the direction on how we can get to God. So the first thing that Jesus says to His disciples is that He must be glorified. That He must be glorified before the disciples and us can get to the final destination. In verses 31 to 32, Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will glorify the Son in Himself and will glorify Him at once." Jesus is to be glorified just as God is glorified in Him. And this is equated as Jesus going away to a place where the disciples cannot follow in the following verse, in verse 33. "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." So in order to understand where Jesus is going before us, to lead us to God, we need to first understand what it means for Jesus to be glorified. Because it is on the other side of the glory of Christ that we are actually going towards God. And at this point, the glory that Jesus is glorified with is not very clear, is it? What does it mean to be glorified? What does it mean for Jesus to be glorified? But from the context of today's passage and others, we can narrow it down to essentially two parts about what it means for Jesus to be glorified. Firstly, Jesus is glorified in the cross. Secondly, Jesus is glorified in His restoration to heaven. Firstly, the glory Jesus speaks of is the glory of the cross. For that is what Jesus meant in John chapter 12, verse 23. It should be in your outline. If you return to your outlines, it should have John chapter 12, verse 23, where Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And that hour of glorification is His death," as Jesus says John chapter 12, verse 27 to 28. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus had come into this world for the very purpose of dying on the cross, for the very purpose of glorifying God in His death. And so during His final meal with His disciples, Jesus looks forward to the glory that God will glorify Him with on the cross. The cross is where He will be glorified. And that is exactly what God did in the cross, as Peter spoke in Acts chapter 3, verse 13. This is what Peter says: "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. Jesus was glorified by God when he was hung there on the cross as he died. But how can such a humiliating death on the cross be glory to Jesus as the Son of God? How can the death of the Son of God on that humiliating cross be glory to God himself? How can the rejection by all and the death of a murderer be glorious at all? It is glorious because his death reveals God's love to us. God's love is displayed perfectly in the sacrificial death of the Son of God, as John writes in his first letter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The cross is the perfect display of God's love, because by the blood of Jesus we are justified and saved from God's wrath. God's love for us and his demand for justice are met perfectly on the cross, in the sacrificial death of Jesus, where we are forgiven and God's justice is fulfilled. That is why God is glorified in the death of Jesus, and God glorifies Jesus in his death. For Jesus fulfilled both the love and the justice of God in his death. And that is why Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. The result of the cross is our salvation, as well as the glory of Jesus and the glory of God. But the glory of Jesus does not end in his death. Jesus is glorified in his resurrection and the ascension to heaven. For that is what God did when he raised Jesus to life. God glorified Jesus in the resurrection, as Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. The glory Jesus was looking forward to was his resurrection. His resurrection was his glory. And the glory of Jesus does not end there, does it? Not only was he raised to life in glory, but also he was raised to heaven in glory. This is the glory Jesus looked forward to in John chapter 17, verse 5. And now, Father, this is what Jesus says, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. On the other side of the cross, Jesus was looking forward to the glory of the resurrection and his ascension. And it is this glory that Jesus taught his disciples in today's passage. It is through that death and resurrection, through that ascension, that he will take us, his disciples, to God. But the grace of Jesus means that we too share in this glory. For we too will share in the new life of Jesus, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we follow Jesus, if we have faith in Jesus, the life we live today is not the end. Our end is to be glorified like Jesus, as Paul writes again in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. God called us to faith in order that we can share in the glorious life of Jesus. Regardless of what we may go through now, our final destination is glory in Jesus. In this life, we may be called fools by the world. We may be called bigots by this world. We may suffer loss in this world because we believe in Jesus. But our future hope is that we will be raised up in glory with Jesus. Our future hope is to be glorified with Jesus in heaven, with the same glory that Jesus had in his death and resurrection. What we may lose now does not compare to what we will have in Jesus. This is what Jesus promises us today in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. Our hope is that we will dwell with God forever. Our hope is that we will dwell with God in his house. Think about it. Isn't it our glory to share a house with our Creator? Wouldn't you call it your glory to share a house with a famous person? If you lived maybe with the Prime Minister or the President, or if you lived with a famous actor or a famous sporting star, if you lived in the same house, wouldn't you say, that's my glory? But we are going to have this, a room in the same house as God, the Creator, the Master of this universe. Isn't that our glory? Isn't that glory worth looking forward to? And that is exactly what Jesus is promising us for the future. Not only will we be resurrected to glory like Jesus, but also we will dwell with God for eternity. Now that we know where our final destination is, how can we know that we are on the right path? How can we know that as we live through this life, that we are going in the right direction? In the movie Finding Nemo, Marlin and Dory knew that they had to get to Sydney, but they just did not know how to get there. What they needed to do was follow the directions of the school of fish, the final direction of going through the trenches, not over it. And likewise, we need to continue to obey the instruction of Jesus to know that we are on the right path. And that instruction that Jesus gives is in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, where Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus promises that all men will know that we are his disciples, his followers, if we love one another. How we treat each other, how we serve one another, just as he has served us. How we love will declare to the world that we are genuine followers of Christ. For a genuine disciple will obey and follow what their master instructs them to do. And Jesus commands us to love one another just as he had loved us. Just as Jesus loved us by serving us in his death, by dying on the cross. Just as he had displayed his perfect love for us by dying on the cross, suffering the insults, the shame, and ultimately the death, we too must love one another. Our obedience in loving one another will be proof and testimony that we are on the right path. It will be an assurance for us that we are genuine in following Jesus. Now, in the movie Finding Nemo, Marlin and Dory were left on their own devices. They were left on their own to find their way to Sydney. And in doing so, they were put in very dangerous situation amongst the jellyfish. But Jesus does not leave us alone to follow him to glory. He promises to take us with him to his Father's house, which means that we must not be like Peter in trusting our own strengths to follow Jesus. We must let go and let Jesus lead us in the right direction, because he will enable us to follow him to the end. And Jesus enables us to follow him because Jesus himself is the way for us. When Jesus spoke about taking his disciples to be with him, Thomas asked in chapter 14, verse 5, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answers, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is no map in this world that will tell us how to get to God. There is no philosophy or religion in this world that will allow us a way, that will reveal to us the way to God. Jesus is the only way to God. No matter what this world tells you, there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, no one can know God, let alone be with Jesus in glory. But because we believe in Jesus, because we have faith in Jesus, He has become our new way to God. We just need to hear and obey His words found in the Bible we have today. Jesus is the way to God, and we need to listen to Him and obey Him. And we can trust Jesus being the way to God because He is the only one who reveals God to us. This is what Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 9. "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been around you, among you, such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Seeing Jesus is seeing God. Seeing Jesus is seeing God at work in Jesus. Have a look at verse 10 to 11. "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Jesus reveals God because everything that He said and did was from God. God was working in Him to do His will. If you heard what Jesus said, and if you saw what He did, then you have seen God. That is who Jesus is. The miracles Jesus performed throughout His ministry all pointed to the reality that He is the Son of God, that He is revealing God to us. So since Jesus reveals God to us, there is no room for doubt. We don't have to doubt whether Jesus knows the way or not. We can have absolute confidence in following Him because we know that He is from God. And we know that He knows the way back to God. We can trust Him and follow Him. Not only that, we can be assured, not only can we be assured we will get to our final destination, we can be assured that we will get there because Jesus does not leave us alone to get there by ourselves. Just as Jesus is the way to God, He is also our means to getting there. Have a look at verses 12 to 14. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus does not throw us into the deep end expecting us to find our own way out. No, He makes sure that we get everything that we need to get out by us, out of the situation. In verse 12, Jesus says that those who have faith in Him will do the things He has been doing and more. But the question here is, how can we do even more than what Jesus did? Consider what Jesus did. Consider all the miracles that He did. Consider all the things that He taught and the fights that He won. How can we do more than what He did? In verse 10, Jesus says, "It is the Father living in me who is doing His work." So we see that what Jesus has been doing so far is the work of God. And the work of God, according to John chapter 6, verse 29, is, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. In essence, the work of God is believing that Jesus came from God. And that's how we can do greater things than Jesus. We will do greater things than what Jesus did because when Jesus returns to God in heaven, He sent His Spirit to empower us to be witnesses of this fact, to be witnesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Not only that, we see in verses 13 and 14 that He has given us the gift of prayer to turn to Him and ask Him in our work of God. The promise here is that Jesus will do The promise here is not that Jesus will do anything that is in our heart, our desires, or what we want. But the context here is that within the framework of the gospel work, as we bear witness to people of who Jesus is, as we go out and do the work of God in proclaiming the gospel, as we bring people to the knowledge of who Jesus is, Jesus will answer our prayers and give us what we need, whatever we need, to go out and preach the gospel. We are not helpless in following Jesus. We are not left to our own devices in following Him. Jesus is not just the way to God, but He is the one who is carrying us to God. He has given us all the things that we need for us to follow Him, to love one another, to obey Him in proclaiming Him. We can be assured that we will get to glory because Jesus is the way and He is the one who will take us there. By His death, resurrection, and ascension, not only was Jesus glorified, but also He opened the way for us to be with Him in God's house. We know that where we are going, we know now where we are going and how we are to get there, because Jesus is the one who revealed it all to us. But if there's anyone here who have not put their trust in Jesus, then the Bible says you are still lost in sin. If you haven't put your faith in Jesus, you are still lost and you don't know the way. And you will remain lost unless you follow Jesus, for He is the only way. But if you have put your faith in Jesus, then continue following after Him. Continue to obey His command to love one another and to bear witness to the gospel. For that is what it means to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is doing what He did. And what He did was to come to die for us on the cross, to serve us, to love us, and to proclaim the way back to God. And if that is the path back, if that is the path that Jesus took, then that is the path we too must take. The path to God is through Jesus and what He has done. Love each other just as Jesus loved us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus, that You have sent Him to die on the cross for us, that His death on the cross, His resurrection and His ascension means that the way is open for us to get to You. So Lord, we pray that we can continue to trust in Jesus by obeying His commands and to follow what He desires in our hearts, that we can be true witnesses of this gospel to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.